This is the Late Round Podcast with your host, JJ Zacharisa. JJ Zacharisa.
What's up, everyone? It's JJ Zacharyson, the editor-in-chief over at numberfire.com, and this is episode 137 of the Late Round Podcast, one of the many shows that are part of the Number Fire Podcast Network. Thanks for tuning in. We often make things sound easier than they actually are in fantasy football. It's easy to note that a few wide receivers or running backs that are drafted late each year in fantasy drafts end up breaking out. But why should you assume that you're going to be that fortunate league owner to land that breakout player? You shouldn't. You shouldn't act as though you're a lock to hit on some low probability event. Instead, you might want to look at that low probability event and ask yourself how you can raise the chances of making that event happen in your favor. Still don't assume it's going to happen, but try and increase the chance of it happening. I mean, if there was a shortcut of any kind to win the lottery, wouldn't you want to try and take it? That's what today's podcast is all about. Last week, I looked at breakout running backs and how to spot them entering your fantasy football drafts. This week, I'll be doing the same, but at wide receiver. Before we dig in, though, I wanted to let you know about a cool new game over on FanDuel. The U.S. may not be playing in the World Cup, but that doesn't mean that you have to ride the bench. Play World Soccer Pick'em on FanDuel every day of the tournament starting June 14th and compete for the daily jackpot and free entries. It's simple. Before each day's action begins, just pick the outcome and the final score of every match. Get all the outcomes right to win a free play entry. Hit the scores and you'll snag a share of the daily cash jackpot. If you want to play for even bigger cash prizes, FanDuel has plenty of regular fantasy soccer contests running all tournament too. To play World Soccer Pick'em now, head to FanDuel.com/pick'em. That's FanDuel.com/pick'em. Okay, so I went through a very similar process as I did with running backs in order to discover ways to pinpoint these breakout wide receivers. So if some of this sounds the same as it did last week on the running back breakout show, it's because it is. Since there's no single way to define what a breakout even means, I had to define that first and foremost. The way you define breakout is probably a little bit different than how I define it. So what I did was exactly what I did with running back breakouts. I charted each player's overall average draft position versus his PPR points scored in that given season and found a trend line that essentially tells us expectation. It tells us at this average draft cost, this is how many PPR points we should expect this player to score. Antonio Brown, for instance, was drafted at pick 21 overall on average, according to MyFantasyLeague.com's ADP in 2014. Someone at that positional draft slot would be expected to score about 228 PPR points. That year, AB scored 374 points, outperforming his expected points scored total by roughly 146. That was the ninth best performance of overproduction that we've seen since 2011. The problem is Antonio Brown didn't really break out because we expected him to be pretty good that season. Maybe we didn't see him going as nuts as he did given his second round ADP, but he still had a second round ADP. He was still projected to be good. So again, like the running back breakout study that I did, I looked only at wide receivers who were drafted outside the top 100 while outperforming their expected fantasy points by 100 or more in order to define what a breakout actually means. Yes, guys, this is absolutely arbitrary, but it will at least give us late round players who outperformed expectation by a whole lot. And that's really what we're looking for here. When filtering things out this way, there were 24 wide receivers who remained, meaning 24 wide receivers have been drafted outside the top 100 over the last 7 years while outperforming their fantasy point total by 100 or more in that season. And there were some common trends among these 24 wide receivers, 5 of them to be exact. The first trend was kind of an interesting one, and it was that these breakout wide receivers have rarely emerged from nowhere. It's not that we expected these breakouts to happen, it's that these wide receivers were actually productive in some way historically before breaking out. Of the 24 breakout receivers, 9 had 150 or more PPR points the year before their breakout. For some context, those are top 40 numbers at the position. And among the 24 receiver group, only one of them scored fewer than 50 PPR points the year before, while 4 of them were rookies. Basically, if you remove rookies from the conversation, we're looking at 45% of these wide receivers being at least high-end wide receiver 4s or low-end wide receiver 3s the year prior to their breakout. They were usable in some way the year before they broke out. That was something that seemed to differ a lot from the running back breakout study. The second trend was that breakout wideouts aren't drafted as their team's top pass catcher. This was just like the running back study, where breakout running backs weren't drafted as their top starter either. Now, some of that has to do with the fact that we're only looking at late round players here. But there are also situations each season where you can get cheap team top wide receivers or running backs, thinking that those players are at a huge discount. You're thinking, man, how is this top wide receiver on this team available in the 10th round? Kelvin Benjamin comes to mind in this season as he's the top wideout in his offense, but he's being selected later in drafts. Since 2011, only Doug Baldwin in 2014 and Michael Crabtree in 2011 were drafted as their team's top receiver on this breakout list. But both of those players also had tight ends, Jimmy Graham and Vernon Davis, being selected in front of them in fantasy drafts. On average, these breakout wide receivers have actually been between the third and the fourth pass catchers selected on their own teams in fantasy football drafts. The exact number here is 3.33, but this basically means that these receivers, on average, have seen two or three wide receivers or tight ends from his own team drafted in front of him in fantasy football drafts during that breakout year. That, to me, is pretty shocking. But trend three helps expand on this data. The third trend is that these breakout receivers come from ambiguous situations. So while the breakout receivers aren't being drafted ahead of their teammates in fantasy drafts, over 50% of them saw their first wide receiver teammate drop off fantasy boards after pick 50. That's the fifth round in most leagues. And only four of them had a teammate drafted in the first two rounds of fantasy drafts. I actually think that this is pretty intuitive. The first two rounds feature wide receivers who demand a high target share in their offense, which leads to a smaller share for the rest of the team. And not only that, but since those top receivers are so good, there's also less of a chance that their target shares fluctuate from one season to the next. So far, we've seen that wide receivers aren't drafted as their team's top pass catchers, but they do come from ambiguous situations, and they generally have done something productive at the NFL level prior to breaking out. The fourth trend kind of ties into these in some way, and it's that breakout wide receivers aren't replacements. Now, if any of you guys listened to the Mailbag show last Friday, you may have heard my answer to a handcuffing question that surrounded handcuffing wide receivers. I said that I haven't done research around handcuffing wideouts, but that's also kind of not true, because I did within this study. And what I found was that injuries don't play a huge role when it comes to a wide receiver breaking out. Since 2011, you can mark down 7 of the 24 wide receivers as players who benefited in some way from a significant injury or a suspension in Terrell Pryor's case. But when you dig into it, only Tyrell Williams and Kamar Aiken saw a significant boost due to that injury to a wide receiver or tight end teammate. And by significant boost, I mean they were borderline irrelevant before an injury occurred to their teammate. Other guys like Randall Cobb or James Jones or Nate Washington, those players saw big injuries to a wide receiver teammate, but it wasn't the sole reason that they were able to see volume and production in fantasy football during the year of their breakout. To put this all another way, don't assume an injury needs to happen in order for a wide receiver breakout to happen as well. Generally speaking, handcuffing doesn't work at wide receiver even more so than at running back. And that makes sense, since when a running back gets hurt, we know a backup can assume that role. If a starting wide receiver gets hurt, targets can be dispersed throughout an offense. The last trend to note is that these breakout receivers usually come from good offenses. This is no different than the trend for running backs. Good offenses score more points, and more points means more points for your fantasy football assets. But 13 of the 24 breakout wide receivers came from top 10 number fire offenses, which are all adjusted for team strength of schedule. The average overall offensive rank among breakout wide receivers has been 12.63. And when you look at just passing offense, that average jumps to 11.88. I think this plays into the idea that you shouldn't just be hunting top receivers for cheap solely for the reason that they're top receivers in their own offense. Someone like Kelvin Benjamin is no better off than the third option who's playing for one of the best passing attacks in all of football. Or I should say, Kelvin Benjamin has a worse probability of far exceeding his expected point total than deeper options on teams with good passing attacks. So those are the five trends. Wide receivers tend to not come from nowhere. They aren't drafted as their team's first pass catcher. They come from ambiguous situations. They don't stem from injury, and they also come from good offenses. So given this information, which players should you be targeting next season? Before I start throwing names out there, I just want to send the same reminder that I did last week. I don't want your takeaway from this podcast to be, JJ likes player X, therefore I should draft him. I'm trying to give you tools to make decisions on your own. I'm providing the process. This same process may lead you to other wide receivers, but as long as you're following it, you should have a better probability of hitting on these late round guys than the rest of your league mates who are drafting based on some random gut feeling. Anyway, the first wide receiver that seems to fit the breakout mold really well this year is Randall Cobb. Depending on your draft, he could be found outside the top 100, but regardless, he really hits a lot of these trends that we just discussed. He's produced historically, he's not the top option being drafted in his offense, and he's in a good offense. He's in arguably the best offensive situation. With Jordy Nelson no longer there, Randall Cobb is one of my favorite fantasy values so far this offseason. In Nelson's last three full seasons with the Packers and a healthy Aaron Rodgers, he'd seen at least 22.3% of Green Bay's targets each season. Those are gone. There's no more Jordy Nelson. Jimmy Graham is there now, obviously, but Graham hasn't seen more than roughly 17% of his team's targets since 2014. And Cobb himself actually finished as a top 35 PPR wide receiver in each game that he played with Aaron Rodgers last season. He was well on his way to having a wide receiver 2 level season last year. He checks all of the boxes and he should really have a higher ADP than he does. And to be honest, guys, so does Cameron Meredith. There are plenty of question marks around his comeback from injury, but he appears to be ahead of schedule and he's not the primary pass catcher in his offense, and he's in an offense now that should be one of the best ones in football. As I've talked through a good bit this offseason, the Saints have some positive regression coming in the passing department, and Cam Meredith should benefit. I've got two more players for you. The first is Rishard Matthews, who's exceeded his ADP by over 130 PPR points during his first two seasons in Tennessee. And that's while not playing a full season last year. In 2016, he was actually just 1 point off of making the breakout wide receiver list that we analyzed today. But on fantasyfootballcalculator.com, Rishard Matthews is being selected in the double-digit rounds. He also has two teammates being drafted ahead of him, but you could easily make the argument that he's a dark horse to lead the Titans in target share this year. It's not likely, but it's certainly possible after hitting the 17.5% target share mark over his first two seasons in Tennessee. And that was, again, while missing some time last year. I've mentioned Matthews on Twitter and some have responded with, "What's he really bringing to your fantasy team?" As in, he doesn't have immense upside. While I do agree that he probably won't finish this season as a wide receiver one, I think that you're fooling yourself if you just assume that you can easily get that type of production late. Just given historical trends, you're basically looking at one late round wide receiver who ends up becoming a stud in fantasy each season. We've seen OBJ, Jordy Nelson, Doug Baldwin, Alshon Jeffrey, Julian Edelman, Devontae Adams, and Michael Thomas become those players over the last 7 years. And you should absolutely go after those guys. That's what this freaking podcast is about today. But the point is that getting wide receiver 2 upside is still okay when you can get it late. It's still useful. And that's especially true in deeper leagues and formats where those players are more necessary because the waiver wire isn't very deep. And it's not as though the guys that you draft early don't bust. They'll bust. So I do love Rishard Matthews again this year. And the last player I want to mention is Kenny Stills. He's being drafted in the 14th round of drafts behind teammate Devontae Parker, and he's being selected around Danny Amendola on Fantasy Football Calculator. The Dolphins probably won't have that scary of an offense this year, so he doesn't fit the trends perfectly, but he was low-key good last season. Only 18 wide receivers had more top 12 performances than Kenny Stills did last year. So given cost and ability, I think Stills is an easy late-round wide receiver target. Randall Cobb, Cam Meredith, Rishard Matthews, and Kenny Stills are some of my favorite wide receivers to get late. But I'm going to leave you with the same message as I left you last week. This podcast and this research isn't about that. It's not about those players. It's about supplying you with knowledge on how to spot some of these breakout guys. Maybe that process will lead you to finding someone else, and that's great. It should, because there are lots of dudes who loosely fit this criteria. But at least you've now got a process. At least you're now using information to increase your probability of hitting on these players instead of looking at your draft board and saying, "Yeah, this sounds like a player who could break out. Let me draft him." That's it for today's show, though. Thanks again for listening. If you've yet to subscribe to the Late Round Podcast, make sure you are by searching for it on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, TuneIn, and Stitcher. And when you're on iTunes, do me a favor and leave me a rating and review. I'd greatly, greatly appreciate it. I'm also on Twitter at LateRoundQB. If you have a question for this week's mailbag show, feel free to hit me up on there or email me at jj@numberfire.com. Thanks again, everyone. I'll talk to you later in the week.